If you've been listening the last few sermons that we've had, I've been going through the book of Ephesians. And we're going to continue on with the book of Ephesians, the fifth chapter, if you can turn with me there. And as I've stated before, the book of Ephesians, the first three chapters, Apostle Paul talks about our position in Christ. Apostle Paul talks about and reminds us that our position in Christ is because of what Christ has done for us on the cross. His love, his grace, and his mercy. And then as we started reading the latter half of the book of Ephesians from 4 to 6, it's about our practice. And the last couple of sermons I had have been on our walk, the Christian walk. Ephesians 4, Apostle Paul writes, "That I beseech you, as the prisoner of the Lord, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein or wherewith you were called." So as our walk, as our Christian walk, what does that look like? And I appreciate the book of Ephesians because as I'm studying more and more, there's a lot of detail that Apostle Paul is bringing out that we need to look at and we need to walk, and that our walk is an example to those that are around about us. The fifth chapter is what we're going to be meditating upon. Actually, the first 20 verses of chapter 5. And for those that were here last and heard my message last week, Apostle Paul writes, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Being a follower of God or being an imitator of God was more of what the message was. And that as being an imitator of God, that we are to imitate him. And we thought, well, you know, how are you going to imitate God who is so far that we maybe feel he's so far from us? There's no way I can imitate God who's perfect and I'm not. But in a sense, Apostle Paul says that if you imitate Christ, you're going to imitate God. And one of the aspects of imitating Christ is his love. The walk in his love, which is verse number 2, "And we walk in love as Christ also had loved us and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior." Let's continue on. "But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are in the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise in understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot in this chapter. And as we read this chapter, and we kind of going to dive in a little bit more, this chapter talks about walking in love. And I talked a little bit about that in my last message. But now there are some other aspects of this chapter that I'd like to bring up. There's also walking in light, the scripture talks about. And then another aspect of it is walking in wisdom. So those are going to be the three walks that, with the help of the Lord, we'll be talking about this morning. Walking in light, because we already talked about walking in love last time. Walking in light, walking in love. I'm sorry, walking in light, walking in being wise in our walk. Just lost my thought there. I apologize. But we'll get through this. Okay. But before we get into walking in light, Apostle Paul goes between verses 3 and 6 or 7. Talks about certain aspects that should not be named or should not be done in a Christian life. Being walking as a fornicator or unclean person or covetousness, it says, don't let it be once named among you. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which is not convenient. So I kind of wanted to did a little bit of research here with this jesting. When Apostle Paul says not to walk or not to be in foolish talking or foolish jesting. The implication here of jesting is a person whose language is vulgar, lewdly, humorous, or whose jokes are vulgar. And more so because of where this is written, more so pertaining in a sexual way. We think I don't think Apostle Paul wants us to, I think he wants there to be some laughter in our lives. But as Christians, our thoughts and our conversation, what does it look like? Because what we say influences is a direct correlation of how we walk. First Corinthians 6:19. See, because Apostle Paul goes on and says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and it's not your own? For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are God's temple, dedicated to God's glory. So Apostle Paul talked in the first couple of chapters of Ephesians, our life in Christ, and what Christ has done for us. And what Christ has done for us should be a reflection on our attitude, our walk, the things that we do and the things that we say. Romans 6, 12, 13 says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in lust, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. The physical body, parts that were once dedicated to sin, should, once we become children of God, be instruments of righteousness. In other words, there should be a contrast from our old life that we once were, and when we accepted Christ in our walk, that should reflect what we believe and what we feel and what Scripture teaches us. You know, James talks about the tongue. With it we bless our God, the Father, and the other we curse men, who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or grape bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Our mouths are part of our bodies and significant part of that transformation once we become children of God. From our mouths should come worship, praise, edification, encouragement, truth, and blessing. Controlling our mouth is part of true religion. If anyone considers himself religious and yet he does not bridle his tongue, he deceives himself, his heart, and his religious is worthless. Laughter is great, but we need to learn to control our words, judging whether they belong in our body or not, because if our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, what is coming out of our body? What is coming out of our mouth? Think of the word jesting as a word of joke. A lot of times we like to joke around. There's some people that are much better at it than others. Some people are pretty quick and they can come up with some words that really that make us laugh. However, would Jesus find humor in foul language, demeaning jabs, or sexual innuendos? And if not, this is something that we need to refrain from, and that type of speech. Coarse jesting and crude joking do not come from a mouth that is supposedly dedicated to his honor. So again, we need to be careful what we say, how we say it, and how it comes out. And people use the excuse, well, you know, it's just a joke. Well, jokes do not give us an excuse to sin. The use of foul language, rude or racist comments are improper for God's people. Coarse jesting and crude joking have no place in the life of a follower of Christ. Then Apostle Paul goes on to say, for ye sometimes darkness in verse 8, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So what does that mean? When I'm reading Apostle Paul's letters, when I'm reading the word of God, a lot of times I'm going to say, what does that look like? I understand what it says, but what does that look like? What does that look like to me? What does it look like to you when Apostle Paul says, walk in the light? We can just say, okay, yeah, we know it's, you know, light's the word and Jesus Christ. And let's dive a little bit deeper in this. To know what walking in light is, we first need to know what darkness is. A world without light is a world of terror and fear. It's a world where nothing is revealed and everything is hidden. To walk in the darkness is to walk aimlessly, not having a purpose, not knowing where you're going or what you're doing. And the fact is, nobody else can really see what you're doing. That's what this world is about. And people don't care. People don't care. Jesus in 8:12, and John, Jesus speaks in John 8:12. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of light, the light of life. See, when we contrast the darkness with the light, it's interesting that darkness cannot overtake light. I don't care how dark the room is. If you have a little flashlight that's got a really light bulb to it or low voltage, even if you turn that on, you'll be able to see that light. And perhaps you can be able to see it from a distance. I'm thinking of a few years back, I'm not quite sure where we're at. Many of you have been through these underground caverns and they're out there with flashlights and they have everybody turn the light off and it's just blaring. I mean, not blaring, it's just the darkness is just, it's like uncomprehendable. And then when you turn the light on, the darkness is gone. Light will always overpower darkness. We are made to be the light. But before we can become that light, the darkness that within us needed to be illuminated. And that was through Jesus Christ, what he's done for us, and his forgiveness for us. The Old Testament talks about walking in light. Isaiah 2:5, O house of Judah, O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. And as we're talking about walking, to walk is to live one's life or lifestyle or way of life. But the word also indicates progress. So when we're walking as Christians, we need to progress in where we're going, in what our goal is, and what our focus is. James 1:17 teaches every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation of shadow of turning. The Bible is clear that light comes from God, Father of the heavenly light. Walking in light means growing in holiness, maturing in faith as we follow Jesus. John 1:7 teaches us, but if we walk in light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us all from sin. And if Jesus has illuminated our hearts by his love and his forgiveness, Matthew 5:16 says, Let your light so shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Walking in the light does two things. It changes us, and it has the potential to point people to Christ. Scripture teaches us that God's word is the light, and to walk in the light is to bring one's life into alignment with the word of God. That the word becomes one, that nothing is done in conflict with the word of God. So what does walking in wisdom look like? Position yourself around wise people. Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Take a look at the people around you, around yourself, your friends and your companions. Are they filled with a desire to live a wise and godly life? You've heard me say it before, and I'm going to always keep saying it because I've always told my children. You're a product of your environment. The people that you hang around with are the people that you're going to become. Are we hanging around people that are constantly committing sin? And in so doing, we become numb to it? And we don't find it offensive? It's not what Apostle Paul teaches us here. If we walk in wisdom, we're seeing things from God's perspective. We know the verse from Proverbs 9:10 that says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." I read, "A fool's game is to have an attitude that says, I can live my way apart from God and win." That's not wise. That's foolish. Arrogance and self-reliance are the opposite of wisdom. James 1:5 teaches us that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, and he will give it to you liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. If you desire wisdom, read the ultimate book, the wisdom of God, God's word. Believers are warned, we are warned as Christians throughout the scripture to watch the company that we keep. Do not be deceived. Evil communication corrupts good habits, 1 Corinthians 15:33. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed, Proverbs 13:20. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits at the seat of the scornful, Psalm 1:1. As iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another, Proverbs 27:17. So our walk is to be one that is to walk with the wise in wisdom in the Word of God. You know, in verse 15, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." So what does that word mean, circumspectly? If we break the word down, the word circumference is the distance around a circle. The word circumvent means to go around the problem. I'm sorry, circumvent means to go around the problem instead of through it. And the word circumstance refers to the situation that's around you. And then if we consider the word spect, part of that word, spectator, means someone who watches an event. Spectacular means something that is incredible to watch. And spectacles means a pair of glasses that you look through with your eyes. So if we break that word down, do we see what's around us? Are we wise to understand what's around us? Are we wise redeeming the time, as verse 16 says, because the days are evil? As believers, we see our lives in the light of God's truth. And we have the duty to walk carefully and accurately through life. As we go through our daily lives, we make all sorts of choices and decisions, and these decisions should be based upon what we know about God and what we know from His Word. Ephesians 5:17, "Don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And to be wise is to apply the knowledge that we have or that we know from God's word. I read a phrase from John Eliot that said, "He is no fool to give what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Redeeming the time. What is the will of God for us today? We know that it's His will that you and I are saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It is his will that we're sanctified. It is his will that we submit to the government and also to the human government, even though the human except when human governments contradicts the duty of God. It could be his will that we suffer as a result of doing good. And it's his will that we give thanks in every situation. So as we walk in light, which is God's word, it was God's word and it's God's love that illuminated our hearts. It's God's love that he gave to us on the cross. And once he's given us the forgiveness of sin, it's our responsibility to shine that love to others. The Sunday school kids sing a song that says, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. Will you let the light of Jesus expose every dark corner of your heart? Will you let the light of Jesus shine through you? You are his light, so shine." Walking in light. Walk in wisdom, the wisdom that God has given us through his word, the knowledge that we have from his scriptures. And then all things, give thanks always for all things unto God our Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have to say, for me, when I'm reading and when I was studying this, I thought about my actions this past week. I thought about the things that I've done and things that I've said. I thought about my walk. Those that were around about me, whether at work or home. Did I walk in love? Did I walk in light? Did I walk in wisdom? You see, Apostle Paul here says that he wants us to be that example, to be followers of God, to be imitators of God. Give thanks always for all things unto God, for the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, you are his light. So shine. May God bless his word.